but be careful, it's a jungle in here. That is the warning you will get when you enter the personal website of Leslie Taylor, naturopath, Rain Tree Nutrition Herbal Company founder and author of The Healing Power of Rainforest Herbs. Leslie closed her company in 2012, then shared all of her formulas for everyone and anyone to use. She was also one of the only few pioneers working in the Amazon to support a sustainable system. Leslie's work continues to be relevant and ahead of the curve. I'm Robin Clare. Stay tuned. This is Tributaries. Leslie, welcome.
Thank you. How are you?
I'm very well, thanks.
Good.
So we first met a few years back, albeit still only over the phone, but the topic that was most intriguing to me was the story of Graviola. And I'm wondering if you can just give our new listeners a brief version and update of this story.
Okay, I'll be happy to. Graviola is a common fruit tree that grows in the tropics. It is widely grown throughout Brazil, which is where my company is based out of, in collecting rainforest plants out of the Brazilian Amazon. And back in 1976, the leaf and stem of this fruit tree passed the National Cancer Institute anti-cancer screening program. And three pharmaceutical companies followed up with the anti-tumorous chemicals found in this tropical plant. They worked for about 10 or 15 years trying to synthesize one particular chemical called annonacin that's found in the leaf of this plant. And it took them about 15 years to be able to recreate that chemical in the laboratory. What's interesting is that annonacin is only one of 28 anti-tumorous chemicals found in the leaf of the tree, and it's going to probably be sort of like Taxol was. Taxol is a chemotherapeutic drug that comes from the Pacific yew tree, and it took the National Cancer Institute and the pharmaceutical companies and the nonprofit research companies about 22 years from the time that they first discovered an anti-tumorous effect of the bark of that tree until the first chemotherapeutic drug was available. And so Graviola is following the same kind of very slow process of being able to turn that anti-tumorous property of the plant into a new chemotherapeutic drug. And in the meantime, many of the natural product companies in the U.S. now are selling the natural Graviola leaf as an adjunctive therapy for cancer, and many people are reporting highly beneficial results.
Now, you just mentioned the leaf as opposed to the bark.
Yeah, there's actually more of the anti-tumorous chemicals. They're called acetogenins in the leaf of the tree than there is the bark. And actually, the highest acetogenin content comes from the seed of the fruit. However, we don't recommend people take the seed of the fruit because it has two other alkaloids in it with some neurotoxicity. So it's actually causing almost like Parkinsonian-like symptoms from the neurotoxicity of those alkaloids, which are not present in the leaf.
Right. Now, is there... So now the companies are using the annonacin, and am I mistaken, or when we spoke about, I don't know, maybe it's been 4 years or so, they hadn't gotten to that point yet?
Well, the pharmaceutical companies have finally synthesized the annonacin chemical, but again, you can't patent a natural plant chemical. What the pharmaceutical companies are trying to do now is change that natural chemical just enough by adding a salt or a hydrogen atom or something to make it a novel chemical that they could patent. And the place that they're at right now is every time they try to change the chemical enough to where it's patentable, they're losing the anti-tumorous effects.
And I remember you mentioning our first go-round that the benefits were just thousands of times more than what they had with any chemo or radiation when they worked on it. I guess, was it with colon cancer?
Yeah, there's several reports that show that it's thousands of times more effective than some of the leading chemotherapeutic drugs. However, that really hasn't shown, I mean, those are all in vitro tests. So that's like putting cancer cells in a petri dish and then putting the annonacin chemical. And then one of the controls they used was a chemo drug called adriamycin. So at that point, they reported it was 10,000 times more effective than adriamycin. But again, you got to be able to sift out the correct information to know that adriamycin is rarely used for colon cancer because it's just not that effective.
Okay.
So when they actually tested it against lung cancer cells, it showed to be probably 3 to 4 times more effective. Then when they did a test against colon cancer and the leading colon cancer drug, which was 5-FU, it showed to be an equal effect of 5-FU, but with no toxicity. And
right.
5-FU killed like half of the lab animals.
Yes.
You know, go
and
figure.
That's a key
kind of
piece
like,
there.
You know, burning down the barn to kill the rats in it. You know?
Exactly. Now, is there much difference in the kind or amount of research going on now as opposed to 5 or 4 years ago when we last spoke?
Yeah, there's an incredible amount of new research that is being funded worldwide on plants. And I'm really happy to see that this kind of research is going on. And in fact, that's why I had to write a second book, is because when my first book came out back in 1998, there were hundreds of studies on these rainforest plants that needed to be reviewed again since 1998, which is why I wrote the second book, to kind of update everybody on all the new research that's been going on.
Right. Now, what is one that stands out in your mind right now?
The one that I've been working on for the last year and a half that I'm real excited about is a rainforest fern that's called Samambia, and the botanical name of that is Polypodium. And so it's a rainforest fern that grows in the rainforest. There are two main species that the researchers are researching. One kind of comes farther north in the northern Ecuadorian Amazon, as well as parts of the Latin American rainforest, and that's called Polypodium leucotomotus. And the other species, which is more prevalent in the southern part of the Amazon, is Polypodium decuminum. And there's been some research in the last 5 years by Harvard Medical School, by Boston University, as well as Boston Medical School, on the cellular protective and the cellular repairing effects of this rainforest fern. And they're showing that it will repair skin cells, and it will also repair brain cells. And the research actually started back in the early 70s when researchers in Spain determined that a group of chemicals, and I can't even pronounce the name of this chemicals, it's about 23 letters, but they're a type of glycoside, were actually repairing brain cells to the point where it was treating Alzheimer's. And this came from earlier research where they had taken this plant and turned it into a herbal drug. Now, in Europe, herbal products are sold typically as drugs, not as natural supplements like they are here. And it was originally marketed and sold and prescribed to treat psoriasis. And it was repairing the skin damage in psoriasis patients. And so it's been sold since the early 80s as a psoriasis drug. And then they noticed that people that had dementia and Alzheimer's had an improvement of their Alzheimer's effects or Alzheimer's symptoms when they took this psoriasis drug. So now U.S. researchers have been following up with that and have been confirming that stuff. And then they started looking at the cellular repairing effect on skin cells. So most of the U.S. research, and in fact, I think three patents have been filed thus far on its ability to prevent sunburn and repair skin damage and then reduce tumor formation from sun damage.
Now, I was able to read up a little bit on Samambia between the time we spoke and today. Uh-huh. And first, this is a wonderful time to let people know about your website, because you have a fantastic website.
Oh,
there's
thanks.
So much
hard on it.
It's obvious. It's just really incredible, both visually and information wise. So why don't you tell us the website, and then I'll move into my question.
The website address is www.raintreenutrition.com. We also have the same website is accessible at rain-tree.com, so either one of those would work.
Yes, and the interesting thing with doing the Samambia, you can apply it externally, topically, as well as eating it.
Right, and it'll prevent sunburn. Isn't
exactly,
that amazing?
Exactly, yeah. And then reading further about it, finding out about the lipids that it is really quite full of. It's very interesting, because we've been doing a lot of research around here and speaking with people on the truth about fats that's finally coming out. I mean, we all sort of that pay attention know that these low-fat things are totally garbage and just destroying our bodies. But I just thought, well, of course, it's able to help repair the brain with all the lipids in there,
right?
Because there is so much. I mean, you call someone a fathead, we should all be fatheads.
Well, I've developed a new product using both species of Samambia, both the Leucotomotus as well as the Ducuminum, and that product is going to be available next month. And it's basically going to be a kind of cellular protective, cellular repair sort of formula, and it'll have both Samambia species. It'll have my first and most famous rainforest plant, Cat's Claw, which I'm sure you know all about.
Yes,
because of its antioxidant properties, its immune benefit properties, as well as its anti-mutagenic properties, which kind of helps healthy cells stay healthy and reduce the formation of cancer cells. It's going to have another plant in it that's another one of my favorite, called Chunca Piedra. I don't know if you know about that.
I don't. Tell us about that one.
Chunca Piedra is a very common weedy herb, and it has been studied for a huge amount of time. In fact, the latest studies has been published and funded by the Nobel Peace Prize winner, who discovered the hepatitis B virus, as well as created the first what's the word I'm thinking of? Vaccines against hepatitis B. And Chunca Piedra has been shown to treat hepatitis B, and not only that, but to clear the hepatitis B virus completely from the system, which is highly unusual. So all of these results were reported by the guy who discovered what hepatitis B was and created the vaccine for it. But it also has wonderful cellular protective properties, as well as liver protective properties. And it also has anti-mutagenic actions as well. So those are going to be the four main plants in this new formula that I'm really excited about, and it'll be called Amazon Vitality.
Now, in making a product like this, what kind of process do you go through from thinking, okay, I know a lot about this herb and I can see where it would be useful, from that point to where you've got it now coming out in a month? What kind of, give us a little insight into the actual process. How much time has it been? And you know,
it's been about a year and a half in development. Mm-hmm. And again, I start going through the phytochemistry of each one of the ingredients and what each of the chemicals do on a intercellular level, what kinds of properties and actions that I'm looking for in a particular product is where I start. So if I want something that is going to be a cellular protective or keeping your cells young and vital and alive and to keep them from aging, basically, I go look for properties and actions in plants that have been clinically verified to do those types of things. I then look at how the chemistry of each plant would combine with each other. So you're talking about probably a six-month phytochemistry sort of analysis. And then what I do is I develop test samples of that, and I send it out to groups of doctors that we work with and have them do testing on themselves as well as specific patients. That can be another 6 to 8 months in time.
And so you've already gotten back good results.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we've even seen memory enhancement improvement in normal people. I mean, normal like me, who's 47 years old and, you know, starts to forget things every once in a while.
Right. Well, you've got a lot to remember, that's for sure.
That's true.
Now, have you seen any synthetics that have been made from a prompting from an herb that are as valuable to the body as the natural substance? Is that possible?
You know, I really haven't. I think when you start switching to a synthetic version of a natural chemical, I think the body has a consciousness knowing that it's synthetic. And I don't think it's assimilated quite as well. I don't think synthetic chemicals get assimilated or work the same as natural chemicals do.
Now, it's also been wonderful how you've been working with the natives down in these particular areas where you work and find these herbs. And the actual plants, meaning the place where you make the derivatives or the capsules for the various herbs, are you still doing that down in these South American countries?
What I try to do is, again, one of my core missions is to create a viable economic solution to rainforest destruction. And the way you do that, I believe, is that the rainforest is being destroyed for profit. Logging companies pay big bucks, you know, to log on rainforest land.
Yes.
So you got to create an economic alternative. So to create a market for these medicinal plants that require the big canopy trees to grow, because these are herbs and vines and shrubs and things that have evolved to grow under the shaded canopy, that you've got to first create the market for it. And then, B, create enough profit in South America for everyone involved for it to be a viable economic solution. So, yes, we are employing indigenous tribes and paying them quite well to harvest plants. We are paying the same sorts of fees to governments and landowners that the logging companies pay. When they go in and pay a logging concession to log the land, we go in and pay a wild harvesting concession,
right,
which is equal to and normally much greater, because we're paying that every year for the same land where the logging companies are only paying it once.
Right. That's quite a hefty competition,
right,
you have to deal with.
So then the next thing is you need to keep as much manufacturing as you can in that country, so you're creating more jobs. You're using more contract companies for transporting your plants, for processing plants, et cetera. So, again, you're creating a huge economic value to that country rather than just importing raw botanicals out for further manufacturing and further manufacturing profits. So I have joint ventures with different Brazilian companies where we do processing of all the plants. You know, we bring them in. We do the sanitation. We do the grinding and for the powders. We'll do the extracting into the liquids, and then we'll bring those further manufactured products here to the United States to then combine them into our formulas.
And in doing so, you are able to avoid the irradiation process, is that?
Absolutely, because we're controlling it from the time it's growing in the jungle to the time it's in one of our bottles. One of the key factors is getting the plants in from the jungle in a timely manner, because, of course, it's humid and it's wet and it rains all the time, and so you need to bring them in pretty quickly. And then what we do is we use ozonated water as well as grapefruit seed extract to do the microbial cleaning of the plants. And then we do all of our microbial tests to make sure they pass. And then we don't have to irradiate it.
Right.
Irradiation and chemical fumigation of these plants are expedient, and they're cheaper to do that way. But, again, our core belief is that it's damaging the nature of the plants to do that.
Right. Well, that's fantastic that you take care of it like that. Are there contraindications? We just spoke about Graviola and Samambia, and of course in your book there are many more herbs and plants recommended and researched, but are there contraindications to taking either of these, for instance?
Well, I believe that while we're seeing quite a bit of research on these medicinal plants, nobody is funding contraindication studies. So one of the things that was missing in my first book was contraindication information. That's why I spent a great deal of time developing contraindication data for both practitioners as well as individuals for these plants. And most of that is based on the phytochemistry of the plant. So with Graviola, we know that Graviola not only is anti-tumorous, but it is very antimicrobial. So like any, that means antibiotic or antibacterial. So it does have the potential to kill off friendly bacteria in the gut and the stomach. And so one of the contraindications that I created for Graviola was that if you're going to use it for long term or more than 30 days, you should be taking digestive enzymes as well as probiotics to help keep that friendly bacteria in your stomach at adequate levels. So throughout my book, I talk about contraindications based on the phytochemistry or the action of the plants. And I think it's kind of the only information out there right now as far as contraindications.
Right. Well, I knew you were thorough, so I had an inkling you might have taken care of that piece. Now, this is probably totally naive, and I understand that the more westernized South American country, or African for that matter, any type of country gets, the more prone people are to picking up more Western diseases like cancer, etc. But, you know, going back 40 years or something, or maybe even in the 20 years that you've been involved with this, I'm just sort of assuming there wasn't a whole lot of cancer. So how did Graviola, for instance, come up as a cancer drug
It started from this National Cancer Institute plant screening program. The indigenous people never used it for cancer.
What did they use Graviola for?
It is a mild sedative. It's a kind of a nervine, so it calms nerves. They used it for its antibacterial properties.
Yes, I'm sure.
As well as its antiparasitic properties. So mostly it was used to kind of treat intestinal parasites. So in 1996, the National Cancer Institute screened like 20,000 plant samples from South America. And they did this initial anti-tumorous test. And then they fed all this information to pharmaceutical companies to follow up on. And that's where it all started.
Yes. Wow. It's so fabulous these days how information like that can be processed so much more expediently than in the past, and just helps things grow by leaps and bounds here.
Well, remember, you know, it was 1976 when they first found it. And really, I didn't start creating a market for Graviola until 2000. So it's kind of a slow process when you're looking at things on a conventional basis.
Yes, that's true. Now, there's a reason why you've recently moved into Nevada from Austin. And it's wonderful that your reputation kind of got you noticed by the Native American Indians after working with Native tribes from the Amazon.
Right. I've been helping indigenous peoples in South America for, 15 years now. And I kept thinking, I need to do something in my own backyard, but I wasn't quite sure what to do. And then late last year, I got contacted by an Indian tribe in Nevada, wanting to explore possibilities of a joint venture with my company. And a couple months later, I'm moving lock, stock, and barrel to Carson City, Nevada, to do a joint venture with the Washoe Indians here in Nevada and California. And what I'm hoping to do is to create a healing center on Indian lands where practitioners, both medical doctors and naturopaths and anybody who is doing integrative kind of cutting-edge healing work with natural products and herbal medicine and other healing modalities, to come do that on Indian lands with a new set of legislative laws passed by the Indians, which will allow a protective environment for that work to happen. So I'm really excited about that, and we're working hard with the Washoe to make that a reality.
Now, do they have any interest in using their land to grow certain types of herbs? I know some of the Essiac teas, for instance, because obviously our Native American Indians must have some remedies of their own that are
right.
Quite potent.
Yeah, they're quite interested in doing that. They have this particular Indian tribe is kind of land rich and cash poor, which is kind of why they like to partner with a non-Indian organization like Raintree. And they're quite interested in reclaiming some of their lands that they're currently just doing cattle grazing on, or it's just in a wild state, and actually growing some medicinal plants for the natural products market. Like one of the main plants up here that's indigenous to this area is St. John's wort. So they could grow that relatively easily.
Yes. Well, that's very exciting. It's wonderful.
Yeah. sure.
And it's just a pleasure to speak with you.
Yeah, it's wonderful to connect with you again. Our website is www.raintreenutrition.com.
leßLee Taylor, a true healthcare pioneer venturing down into the Amazon. She has led the way for many interested not only in herbal health, but also keeping things sustainable. leßLee's personal website, which is where you can begin to find out about the depth and breadth of her work, is leßLeeTaylor.net. And her book, still available, is The Healing Power of Rainforest Herbs. For any guest information, to listen to archives, share resources, and sign up for weekly programming, it's tributariesradio.wordpress.com. And for podcasting on iTunes, Tributaries Radio. I'd like to thank all of you for your support through all these years, and there's lots more to come. I'm Robin Clare. Thanks for staying tuned.